Joe Pitts is a well-respected musician. It's fair to say he's beloved by fans of the blues around Arkansas and the world. He's adapted a blues sound that, while honoring the legends of the genre, is still very much all his own. This weekend, Joe Pitts and his band will play a pair of 9 p.m. shows at Legacy Blues in Fayetteville, Friday and Saturday nights, as well as offer a workshop at the Bentonville Public Library Saturday afternoon, sponsored by the library and the Ozark Blues Society of Northwest Arkansas. This week, I reached Joe at his home south of Little Rock. He was born in Pine Bluff, not that far from the fertile blues ground of the Delta, but he says his first influences were the British rockers, who, in turn, had been influenced by the very artists from close to where Joe grew up.
My sister really got me into the blues when it got electrified in the late 60s with Cream and Rory Gallagher, and then, you know, Zeppelin and Hendrix and, you know, all of those guys. And then the Allmans came around, and that's really when it kind of all came together for me.
What was it? How old were you when you first started playing the guitar?
I was 8 when I first picked it up, and I was watching, you know, back in those days we had the television variety shows, and it was some show, I don't know if it was Porter Wagner and Dolly Parton or the Johnny Cash show or something, but I kept noticing that the guitar player had a guitar laid over in his lap and was playing it, and that intrigued me, and so I dabbled with that a little while, and then I figured out that he was actually playing slide. Mm-hmm. And so really I started playing slide guitar before I ever really learned how to pick a guitar.
The slide, that I've always been intimidated by the slide guitar. Is it a tough thing to pick up?
Not really. If I can do it, anybody can. But the thing about slide guitar is it's really frustrating because you're basically playing a fretless instrument. And to get the intonation right and the notes to come out takes a little bit of technique to get used to. But once you get that feel, or I know it was for me, once I got that feel, then I could just take off and really start exploring all up and down the neck.
Was this self-exploration? Did you have lessons, or were you just there figuring it out as you went?
Well, really, in those days, you know, pretty much the only thing that we had at the music stores was a Mel Bay book, and nobody really taught you how to play slide guitar. So I really just kind of picked it up on my own and played with an old round handled butter knife, kind of the C. Dale Davis thing before, you know, I knew C. Dale Davis. And you know, my mom had it, and I was trying to play, I guess, some standard tuning, and then one night on one of the shows, they went around and they introduced the band, and when they introduced the guy that was playing the dobro, well, they introduced him, and he just strummed the chord, you know, open the guitar, and I heard the chord, and so I tuned and tuned until I found that chord, and come to find out it was a G chord. So they were playing an open G tuning, and then from there, I just kind of picked it up from time to time, and then, like I said, my sister was a huge music lover, and my mother too. So I mean, I was really bombarded from an early age from Cream and Zeppelin and even to Miles and Train, and one end of the house to the other end, it was, you know, Chet Atkins and Merle Haggard and you know, George Jones and all of those old country guys that my mom listened to. So I just kind of picked it up along the lines, and then, you know, getting to, you know, hearing Dwayne Allman for the first time, that really is what kind of did it in for me.
Did you ever listen to guys like Speedy West, some of those lap steel guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, I even from time to time, if I'm cruising on the internet when I have a minute or something, you know, I'll even try and pull up some of the old stuff from the guys playing the Hawaiian lap steels.
Oh yeah,
you know, and just hearing new definitions of music. You know, sometimes I'll add that into a song somewhere. You know, because when I play, it's like I'm not thinking about playing, but when we're playing, in the context of the blues, I hear more horn lines and orchestration in my head than I do really a stringed instrument. So sometimes I play like that. Sometimes I just play the blues, you know. So I think being away from the blues when I'm not out touring with it really keeps me fresh when I come back to it, because I'm exploring all these other genres of music.
Well, you know, and even when you're inside the blues, I think of the CD 10 Shades of Blue, you're still exploring as far as that genre will go, because you've got 10 cuts on there from 10 very different kinds of blues legends, and you're playing a different style, it seems like, on almost each of those 10 songs.
Yeah, and you know, that was the concept of it, is, you know, I'm influenced by music, basically. And I've always loved the blues, and, you know, I listen to Muddy Waters and Son House and Big Bill Brunsey and, you know, all the old cats, you know, early on growing up. And then, you know, you have cats that are really just pushing it to the limit today, like Walter Trout and Eric Gales, and that influenced me too. So, you know, Ten Shades really was an album not really to be a cover record, but it was more to be a tribute to the blues, because there's so many different facets of the blues, and I like all of them. So, you know, if you're going to stick me into a record label or a record bin on the shelf, it may be kind of difficult to do, because, you know, from the Almonds and the Southern blues influence all the way to, you know, Son House and Robert Johnson, I dig it and always have. And so I can't stay just true to one thing.
I really like how you do Freedom From My Demons. That's just an outstanding version.
You know, yeah, that's a great song, and luckily I'm friends with Eric Gales and have known Eric for a long time, so I was honored to do that for the record.
I want to ask about your gear, because there's a, if you go to joepitts.com, you can find a link to the gear. And until a young jazz guitarist from New York was in our studio just last week, I didn't realize, and he plays a Gibson as well, I didn't realize how much difference a guitarist might make in choosing the amp. I thought an amp was an amp was an amp, but that's not the case, is it?
Not really, you know. I even though pretty much it doesn't matter what I play through, I still sound like me. And, you know, I'm really fortunate to be that way. Because no matter whether it's a fly-in gig and I have amps that I'm not even familiar with, or whether it's, you know, the full-on touring rig, you know, pretty much I can dial in what I sound like. But yeah, there, you know, with when I play a Les Paul, which I've always had a love for those guitars, and I've played them for a long time, and when I play that kind of guitar, I like to have an amp that's a little more mid-range heavy, because I think that brings out the voice of the guitar. Where if I'm playing a 335 Gibson, well, I want a little cleaner sound. So something with a little more top end and bottom end, and not as much mid-range. So depending on the guitar, you can kind of adapt to the amp. But generally, you know, I'm very blessed that you know, I've played long enough, so it really doesn't matter what I play through. I still come out sounding like me.
You'll be playing a couple of shows at Legacy Blues, and you're also going to be at the Bentonville Library. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, you know, the Ozark Blues Society is sponsoring a workshop, a slide guitar workshop, where folks can come out. I think it's free to the public. They can come out, bring your guitar and your slide, and, you know, if I can help you, you know, get over some of the obstacles with playing slide, that's what I like to do, and you know, I have no secrets. So, you know, if I can do it, anyone can, and it's, so I try to instill that in everybody just to... it's a little frustrating at times, but, you know, just stay with it, because if you'll work through that and get to the sweet spot. So, you know, and things that if I can help, then, you know, I like to help students and players of all age. So, and then there's a little performance thing that we'll be doing also with the band. And so, yeah, it's going to be a real good time, you know. The really good folks over at the Ozark Blues Society there in Northwest Arkansas, man, they're some good folks, and they like to further the tradition of the blues, and, you know, I'm all about that.
Well, you'll be playing at Legacy Blues Friday and Saturday night at 9 o'clock. You'll be at the Bentonville Library Saturday afternoon at 2. People can learn much more about you at your webpage, which is joepitts.com. Joe, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, Kyle. It was a lot of fun, and we hope to see everybody up on the hill.
Joe Pitts and his band will appear 3 times in Northwest Arkansas this weekend. He'll play beginning at 9 each night, Friday and Saturday, at Legacy Blues in downtown Fayetteville, and also be at the Bentonville Public Library Saturday afternoon at 2. His webpage, joepitts.com. And Joe was kind enough to answer 3 more questions about the possibility of adding a didgeridoo to his music, the loss of liner notes as music becomes a digital commodity, and more. You can hear the latest installment of our web-exclusive series, 3 More Questions, right now at OzarksAtLarge.com.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, we have a warm-up to the fall fundraiser, and a big thanks to those who have contributed in the past to help this microphone record blues musicians traveling through the area. That's Friday night at 9 o'clock. Take a listen. The Generic Blues Show. We'll see you then.